Welcome to the first ever Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on
Let us pray. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. Have your way in this place and get your glory. Whisper to our hearts and our minds. Scream and yell at us if you have to. Shake us, rock us, and roll us up into who you would have us to be, so that after this experience, we are more like you. If you do this, God, we promise to give your name glory, honor, and praise. Whether you do it or not, we're still going to praise you. In Jesus' name, we love you, God. And we know you will. Amen. The necessity of remembering where he found you. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 says this. There was a Benjamite. So I know you're listening. Everybody say Benjamite. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoroth, the son of Aphia of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul. Everybody say Saul. As handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. And he was a head taller than anyone else. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father, Kish, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, the Bible mentioned that he was taller. Do you know that studies have been done and they show that many of those persons who are put in leadership positions tend to be tall. For whatever reason, we tend to like height when it comes to elevation. You know, you can be a tall fool. I just wanted to point it out. Verse 3. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father, Kish, were lost. Say lost. Kish said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim. Where did he pass through? Ephraim. And through the area around Shalisha. But they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalim. But the donkeys were not there. Then they passed through the territory of Benjamin. But they did not find them. When they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us. That was in the district of what? Zuph. But the servant replied, look, in this town, there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go now there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. As you're turning to chapter 15, I would let you know that if you were to continue to read chapter 9, you would find out that that man of God is in fact the prophet Samuel, who God uses to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. So Saul goes from chasing his father's donkeys to being anointed king. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says this. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people. So listen now to the message from the Lord. I want to preach a message by the Spirit on today entitled The Necessity of Remembering Where God Brought Us From. Let us pray. Father, we need you now as we always do. Speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding. Anoint our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We'll be careful to give you glory and praise. Lead the way in this preaching, and we will follow wherever you go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are your children. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving and anticipation. Our hearts and our souls say, amen. I think it's important for not to recognize that you have not arrived. One of the things that can happen when we set certain benchmarks in life and we're able to accomplish them is that we can mistakenly believe that we now are somebody because of what you have done, your notoriety, and what you have gained. And I want to set that record straight. I want to tell you, you are somebody. But I want to go further and tell you, you've always been somebody. And it is not your accomplishments that make you who you are. If you mess around and believe that that is the case, then what can happen is you can mistakenly develop an identity that is grounded in what you have or do not have. And so at a time in your life where you have what you think you need in order to be who you think you are, everything's all right. But anybody who's ever been through a tornado will tell you, one minute I had it and the next minute it was gone. It is the material thing that if I allow it to will define my identity, so I think I'm blessed because of what I have. I think that I'm somebody because of what I've done and the accomplishments that I have amassed. But God told me to tell somebody, I don't care who you are and I don't care what you have, you were somebody before you were born. As a matter of fact, I want to let you know, according to my Bible, before you had been formed in your mother's womb, you had already been called. You had already been ordained. Good God Almighty. I know you're waiting for my voice to change, but you just missed a chance for a shout right there. Let me say it again. Before you even got into your mother's womb, you were already called and you were already ordained. Those two are pre-qualifiers, Lord have mercy, to be used in destiny and to have a great use by God. I've got to be called by him and I've got to be ordained by him. And no man calls himself. In order to be called, the Father has to draw you into him. The Bible says that he draws us into him. No man comes to the Father except they be drawn into the Father by the Spirit of God. And every now and then God needs to send a word into your life to remind you that you have not always been where you are today. That's good news, somebody. But it does not stop there. The reminder goes forward as well to let you know that not only have you not always been where you are today, but you're not going to always be where you are today. And I don't know about you, but that's another shout. Now, this is how you identify the people in the church on this morning who may still be going through a season of trial. They shout right there. They shout right there. You may not shout when you hear, I'm not going to be where I am right now in the future. But if you're going through hell and high water, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make it out everything that you've been going through, I came by to tell you it's good news to remember you ain't always been where you are and you ain't gonna always be where you are. God's got a word for you on today just to let you know everything is still going to be all right. This brother by the name of Saul is a king in chapter 15, but the prophet Samuel shows up in his life to let him know you ain't always been king. Good God Almighty, that's good news. And it's important for Saul because in this chapter, he is on the verge of having a divine setup for either victory or cataclysmic failure. God is coming into his life and he's about to give him a set of instructions. God is about to tell him, if you were to continue to read, and I encourage you to do so in your personal study, chapter 15, you would see that it's there that God tells Saul, I need you to go and utterly wipe out the Amalekites. I need you to do that because when my people back in the book of Genesis were coming out of Israel, the Amalekites attacked them, and I promise after I gave them the victory that one day I would utterly destroy them for all they did. This is that
day. Can I preach to you under the sound of my voice, people of God, and let you know, for somebody up in here, this is that day. This is the day that God could use you to do something great. Good God Almighty, I feel God on me now. And I want to let you know, every time you open up your eyes, that ought to be your mentality. You ought to never open up your eyes and think that this is going to be a bad day. This is going to be a down day. No, no, no. This too is a day that the Lord has made. And so I will rejoice. My mentality says that if I follow him on today, God is going to use me to do something great. My mindset is that despite my mistakes, God is still able. My mentality is this. I got up. I may not have everything I want to have, but God is still with me. And so if I stick with him, he can use. Anybody got that kind of attitude? Anybody got that kind of mindset that God could use you to change the world today? That God could use you to break somebody out today? That God could use you to be a witness today? That God could elevate you today?
The Bible says that God comes to Saul in chapter 15. He says, I want you to utterly blot them out. I want you to destroy all of them. But Saul has been king for a while. And I want to encourage you, not because we want to make money off of you, but because the word is great and God is preaching through it. I want to encourage you to get the message from the 8 a.m. hour, because we talked about Saul's formative process and the fact that perhaps, possibly, I would ask, is possible that the prophet Samuel, who anointed Saul, did some things out of order, because before he anointed him, he elevated him, gave him a seat at the table, put him in front of some people, gave him a choice cut of meat. And I can imagine that for a brother who was chasing donkeys just a little while ago, that can make your head swell. You know, there's a danger to being elevated too quickly. That's why you've got to stay. Tell your neighbor, stay. Oh God, now that's challenging, because they don't know what they just asked you to make you stay in, do they? Oh no, they don't. Because you want to leave some of what you're in. But God told me to tell you, sometimes elevation has to be held off so that you can be prepared to be raised up. And perhaps because Saul was elevated too quickly before the anointing was poured on him, once Saul becomes king, Saul gets big-headed. And so in chapter 15, we don't know exactly what it was that caused him to be this way, but the Bible says that when God told him to utterly destroy the Amalekites, Saul decided to take matters into his own hands. And Saul said, well, I'm going to destroy some of them, but I'm going to keep what looks good in my eyes. Do you know that your eyes get weaker every day? Do you know that when you were born, now you've got some contacts in your eye, now you've got bifocals on your face? You trust your eyes? I don't know about you, but when I wake up, I got sleep in my eyes. I don't know about you, but every now and then I gotta put some Visine in my eyes because they get irritated and red. Well, I'm just trying to suggest this. You will mess around and fool yourself, and Brother Jason, get yourself into some places you should not be if you trust your eyes. But I came by to tell you, the good news is, whether your eyesight is 20/50 or 20/0, there's a God who can see clearly and perfectly and see all things. And because, as we sang earlier, he does all things well, I've got to learn not to walk by my sight, but to walk by faith and not by sight. Saul has not got this lesson, and so he decides, I'm going to destroy what I want to destroy, and I'm going to keep what I want to keep, and I'm going to go further than that. In chapter 15, the Bible says he makes a monument to himself and erects himself up and thinks that he now is somebody who deserves to be honored in a way that I would suggest to you the Bible communicates is reserved exclusively for God. I don't care who they are in your life, and I don't care who you become. They don't let anybody name no buildings after you. That's a song Erykah Badu used to sing. No, they'll go down dilapidated is what that woman said. You need to understand that you are not the monument. You are not the reason why it's successful. There's a God who's orchestrating our lives. And yes, he may use you, but Saul, he can use you now, get rid of you, and if you don't want to comply, use somebody else. All of this is necessary for your understanding at this point in the preaching, because we are yet in chapter 15, and it is in the beginning of chapter 15 that Samuel gives us the imperative to do a divine redirect. How does he do that, Minister Lingham? He says, well, I, Saul, am the one who God sent
sent to anoint you as king. Whoa, way back there in chapter 9. I am the one. And so you need to listen to what God is saying. And I want to let you know, as you read Saul's story, it really is tragic. It's tragic, Brother Jason, how somebody could start out going in the right direction, but once they get to the place of elevation, they fall. Isn't that tragic? I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to be that way. How about you? I don't want God to bless me and then I mishandle the blessing. I ain't looking for that. I don't want God to elevate me and then my character can't handle the platform that I've been given. I don't want that. And so I tip and drop off dead. I don't want that. I don't want to get into a place of prominence and it swell my head. So how do I do that then? Deacon Linda, how do I know that God can use me great and still not get a swollen head? How do I know that God can take me to places of destiny and I still be humble enough to say it's for God I live and for God I die, and if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I came by, and I feel like preaching right now, I came by to tell you that the way that you do that is to understand the necessity of remembering where you came from. And that's why God points us back to chapter 9. My God, I feel like preaching. In the beginning of chapter 9, the Bible says this, that when it is that the prophet Samuel first encounters Saul, Saul is not looking for God. Saul is not chasing after God. Saul is running around chasing his father's donkeys. Now, I want to tell you what the Bible says, not Omari, not pastor, so you cannot run around and say that I said such. No, your Bible, if you read in certain versions, it does not call them donkeys. It uses the word ASS. That's what your scripture says. That's what your Bible says. That's not what I'm making up. But whatever you want to look at it as, or however you want to see it, I want to suggest this to you today. Everybody under the sound of my voice who sings, I'm chasing after you. Everybody under the sound of my voice who comes in here lifting holy hands. Everybody under the sound of my voice who says, I want the anointing and the power of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care about the badge on your chest. I don't care about your fancy robe. Everybody under the sound of my voice could have been caught at one point in your life chasing something. But God stepped in your life, and I believe you have a divine imperative to not forget where you came from. I need somebody who's a former weed smoker, I ain't saying you're still rolling, to say, I remember where he brought me from. I need somebody who does not mind shaking off your fake churchhood to say, I used to be in the street, but look at what God has done in my life. I need somebody up in here to lift up holy hands and recognize that these hands used to roll bud, used to put money, used to rub women, used to grab men, but now I lift up holy hands. What I'm trying to do, Sister Sparky, is suggest to you how you can be elevated. Who wants to be elevated? Everybody ought to have their hand up. Let me ask again. Who wants to be elevated by God? Who want everybody? Don't you want that? I do. I don't want to stay down. I don't believe that. I believe Pentecost got to come for everybody. There's got to be a moment in my life where God pours out blessings. The elevation has got to come, because if I'm not weary in well-doing, he said, in due season, oh God, I would reap if I don't faint. That means I believe in elevation, but I don't want to get there and fall. And so you've got to remember where God found you. You've got to remember where God brought you from. You have not always been chasing after God. And here's the shout about that, because as we've already examined, scripture says to us that no man comes unto the Father unless he be drawn by God. The Bible says to us that he has called us and he has ordained us. He did it. We didn't call ourselves. We didn't ordain ourselves. Because of that, we are his chosen people. That's what the Bible says. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen people, showing forth the praises of the one who has called us. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And here's your second shout on this morning. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to have to slide over because I'm getting ready to shout. The other shout on this morning is this. When I was not looking for him, he was busy looking for me. My God up in here. Now see, if you forget that, you'll sit around and you'll be ungrateful. But how many are just grateful that God found you? Because you knew when he found you, you were in some stuff that nobody else could have found you in. My God, my God, my God. You could not have found yourself in all them lies. Couldn't have found yourself in that woman's bed. couldn't have found yourself in Islam. Can I preach to the honest people in here? Can anybody look back like me and realize that where God brought you from, you were out of your ever-loving mind? You could not even realize who you were. You knew nothing of your destiny. I'm suggesting you to me that you could not find yourself, but God stepped in your life, found you where you were. Somebody ought to give my God praise if you know he found.
So part of remembering where he brought me from is remembering that I have not always been pursuing God. No. There was a time where he was pursuing me. Oh, but can I tell you something that's amazing? Woo! You ready for your third shout on this morning? The Bible says that when Samuel encountered Saul, that God spoke to him and said, there's a brother by the name of Saul, and I am sending him to you. Now, you have to be scratching your head if you're thinking critically, because you remember that it didn't seem like Saul was being sent by anybody. It seemed like, according to scripture, Saul was chasing after donkeys. Saul was chasing after some. Saul was chasing after whatever your donkeys are, my brother or my sister. Saul was chasing after them. But here is the divine in the midst of it all. Good God, I love it, Sister Faye. The Bible says that God said, I'm not the one who's allowing Saul to just run around. I'm using what Saul is running after in order to draw him in. My God, my God. And I wonder if there's anybody in here on today. Another part of your remembering flashback testimony ought to be this. This ain't for everybody. But if you're honest and you can say that when you initially came to God, you weren't even looking for God. There's somebody under the sound of my voice who, when you initially started coming to worship, you came to see him. There's somebody under the sound of my voice who, when you initially came to worship, you came to see them. There's somebody under the sound of my voice who, when you initially came to worship, you came because it was your time to sing, your time to serve, your time to testify, your time to read. But all around in that, somewhere along the way, you had an encounter with God. You were chasing after it, but he found you. You ought to give God some praise.
See, there's somebody here on today. I should have went up, but there's somebody here on today. We'll come back. The reason that you're in church is not because you were coming seeking after God with purity. No. Don't lie to yourself right now. There are people even now sitting in the church. Some are listening right now. That includes everybody who, when they got up this morning, their primary reason for going to church, if you're honest with yourself now, if you have a habit of deceiving yourself and perpetuating an image of yourself that makes you look like somebody that you're not, and that you're always super perfect and you're always super holy, you know, sometimes I got to correct myself and let myself know I'm not going to Redeemer because I'm pastor. I'm not going to Redeemer to preach. I'm going to Redeemer to worship my God. And I just imagine that if I have to suggest that to myself, that there's somebody else in here, you have to remind yourself of that too. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, I'm not going there because I got a title. I'm not going there because I got a responsibility. I'm not going there because I got a lead. I'm not going there because I got to be seen. The reason that I'm getting up, the reason that I'm curling my hair, the reason that I'm putting on this wig, the reason that I'm putting a tie around my neck is because I've come to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, that's not your shout, though. The shout is this: even though you didn't come for the right reasons, God stepped in right on time. Because my Bible says that Samuel met Saul while he was chasing donkeys. He was chasing something else. But didn't God step in right on time? Is there anybody here who knows that God will step in right on time. Interrupted you. Interrupted your mess. Watch this. Watch this, though. If you're like Saul, you have this as part of your testimony that you often have to remember. Thank God you didn't find what you were looking for. This preaching is not for holy rollers. This preaching is not for the super saved. This preaching is that set free preaching for somebody in the household today that can say, I was chasing something other than God. And if I would have got what I was praying for, I would not be alive. If I would have got what I was running after, I would not be here. If I would have got what I was asking for, it might have destroyed me. Thank God. Thank God that he did not let me find my donkey. Find my... Because the Bible says that when Samuel encounters Saul, he's so preoccupied with what he's been chasing that Samuel has to tell him, that's no longer your concern. See, that's a word for somebody in here on today. You've been losing sleep over a problem that you thought you had to fix. Oh, God, help me in here. It's been driving you crazy. Oh, and making you feel like you're going to lose your mind because you've been trying to figure out how you were going to solve this thing, how you were going to get to the solution, how you would discover the answer. But God told me to tell somebody in here, because I've encountered you along the way, that is no longer your problem. And the Bible says that Samuel tells Saul, your donkeys have already been taken care of. You need to set your priority on chasing after a different king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I just came by to tell somebody in here, I don't know what you've been worrying about. I don't know what you've been trying to get. I don't know what you've been chasing after. But God told me to tell you, once I give you your divine assignment, that is no longer your concern. I'm taking it off your hands. I've already got it worked out. I'm going to solve it. It will not stay undone. But because I love you, so much, I can redirect you. I can send you forward and take care of your behind. I can turn you left and take care of your right. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? You know that God can handle it. Say yeah. And so the Bible says that Samuel comes in and he redirects Saul. He says, no, man, I've got the donkeys. They already taken care of. All you need to worry about is being king. And here's what he does. Now understand that Saul has been chasing donkeys. Saul has been chasing some, whatever it is that you've been chasing. You can clean it up if you want to pretend, or you can say, I've been chasing some too. But the Bible says that he comes in and he knows that Saul has been chasing after this. But the Bible says that God says, I'm sending Saul to you. And when you find him, all I want you to do is anoint him. Now that is amazing to me. Good God, and that makes me shout, Josiah. Because I can look back and realize that God anointed me before I even knew who I was. God anointed me before he even cleaned me up. God anointed me. Hold on, 1 minute I was chasing that. The next minute the glory of God was on my life. And the reason that I'm grateful and that you ought to be grateful is it's not like you cleaned up your resume like most of us would do so we could qualify for the test. It's not like you went and got something from GNC like your boy used to have to do so that you could pass a test. It's not like you had a chance to get your household straight so that when people came by, they would think that you were truly holier than thou art. But God knew you for who you were. God saw you in what you were in. And he said, now I'm going to pour out my oil all over your head. Is there anybody who can say thank you, God, because you anointed me when I was still dirty? You anointed me when I was all messed up. You anointed me when I was still out there, and you used me anyhow. You ought to give them praise. So I'm about to let you go. He anoints him. He anoints him. Bible says, he tells him, I want you to know that God has chosen you for something great. I know you got up this morning thinking your only assignment was to get a donkey. I know you got up this morning with a one-track mind. Good God, I need some flashback praises now. I need one or two or three flashback praisers who can say that you were not even thinking about God, but you can celebrate because God was thinking about you and he loved you enough to come and interrupt your stuff, get involved in your life, and work it all out for you. And so this is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that he comes in, that he anoints Saul, that he says this to him. He says, I'm about to change your entire direction. I know you want to go over there and go back to the people that you grew up with and go back to your home. You'll see this if you read through 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 1 Samuel chapter 10. He says, I want you to not do that, though. He says, the donkeys that your daddy lost, they already there. Whoa, that'll preach. Is there anybody here who you can be honest and say some of the stuff that you were chasing wasn't even your problem? And here you are wasting the precious moments of your life trying to find something that somebody else lost? Oh, God, help me in here. But the Bible says that Samuel encounters Saul. He says, I'm changing your direction. I don't want you to go back home. Not yet. You know, you can get in trouble going back home too soon. Oh, God, help me with that. When God is working on you and he has not yet made you into who it is that he would have for you to be, if you're not careful and you return to that which is common and that which was familiar to you before, you can end up reverting back into who it is that he wanted you to be, that you used to be. And so sometimes what I've learned in my life is, before God returns us, he holds us out for a while. Oh God, can I tell you, newlywed, that I believe that's why we go on the honeymoon as soon as we get married, because you don't need to run back into the house and think that you are who you used to be. You need to step away for a while and realize that something has changed. I'm not who I used to be. God's got a hold of my life. I feel like preaching in here. And so if you are alone for a season, you ought to celebrate God in that. It's not that you will never see them again. It's not that God will not reconnect you, but it's that sometimes God has to pull you out just long enough so that you can become who you are called to be. Because the Bible says that when Saul did go back home, he had already been called king. I came by to tell somebody, you need to hold out a little while longer. And so he does this. He redirects him. I'm about to close. He redirects him. He sends him. He sends him. He sends him over in a different direction. And he says, this is what I'm going to happen. I don't want you to go to your parents' home. I want you to go in this direction. And you're going to see a hill. And when you see this hill, there's going to be a company of prophets who are going to be coming down that hill. My God, my God. Now, in every scenario that you find in Scripture, the only way for you to be a prophet was for you to be of a certain particular tribe. Lord, help me in here. You had to be attached to the priestly line in order to be used as a prophet or a priest of God. But the Bible says, good God, somebody help me close this thing. The Bible says, says that when God sees Saul, he uses the prophet Samuel to tell him, I don't want you going back to your people. It's time for me to hook you up with my people. Good God Almighty in here. So not only did God find you when you could not find yourself, not only did God pull you out when you could not pull yourself out, not only did God interrupt your life when you were chasing, but how many know in here on today, God has connected you with somebody like my Natalie, and somebody like my Khalil, and somebody like the Church of the Redeemer, somebody you could not get connected to by yourself. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? And you know that God has connected you. He pulled you out, drawed you into him, and now you're connected with your divine destiny. But that's not all. The Bible says that God told Saul, when you encounter the prophets, after the prophet by the name of Samuel sends you over to that hill, they're going to be prophesying, they're going to be speaking in tongues, they're going to be playing instruments, and you're going to jump right in with them, and what's on them is going to get on you. You ain't been fasting like them, you ain't been living like them, you ain't been holy like them, but when I connect you to them, what I got on them is gonna drop down on you. Is there anybody here? And you know by the sound of your shout that God let something get on you you did not deserve, you could not afford, but he blessed you anyhow. He delivered anyhow. He made a way anyhow. Didn't he do it? Somebody shout yeah. And when you come down, you're going to be prophesying. And the Bible says that God told Saul a change. I heard G.E. Patterson say, oh, what a wonderful change has come over me. And the Bible says that God changed him and he was different. Is there anybody here? You can say, I've been changed. I've been changed. Oh, what a wonderful change has come over me. I can walk right. I can talk right. I can praise. I didn't used to praise. I can worship. I didn't used to worship. I can pray. I used to cuss. I can sing. I used to shout. I can lift my hands. I can do what he's called me to do, because of change. He changed me. He found me. He packaged me. He made me. He lifted me. Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Won't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. And you and I did not deserve any of it. My God. I don't want you to remember the hoop and the holler. That's what I want you to remember. Everything that he's done, you and I did not deserve any of it. How can I get to a place of elevation and maintain my humility? I've got to remember, Trustee Barbara, that you and I, Jason, didn't deserve any of it. How can I become king and not disobey God like Saul did? I've got to remember that no matter what he's given me, no matter what victories I've won, no matter how many enemies like the Philistines I vanquished, I did not deserve any of it. But he blessed me anyhow, delivered me anyhow. And if you know that you know that you know that you know that that's true, you ought to jump up on your feet, put your hands together, throw your head back, open up your mouth and say, give my God some praise.
No matter where God takes you, don't you ever forget where you came from. Remember those stops. I pray that you weren't distracted by the format, but remember the word and the stops. Remember that at one point you were chasing problems or chasing something that was not even yours. Remember that when you initially encountered God, if you like most of us, you were looking for relief. You weren't looking for God. Somebody told you God could give you relief. So God started out in your life as a means to an end. Don't act like he always been Alpha and Omega. At one point, like me, he was a pillow when I needed comfort. I needed tears to stop flowing, and he had joy. I needed something to ease the loneliness, and he had companionship. I wasn't chasing after him because of who he was. I was chasing after him because of what he could do. Oh, and if you're like me, until he got a hold of my life, I discarded him once I got what I needed from him. You got to remember that. You got to remember that when you get to elevation, because you've got to remember that even when you let him go, he never let you go. You've got to remember that when he turned your life around, you hadn't had everything put in order yet. It wasn't all straight. You didn't get all perfectly cleaned up and then God decided to anoint you and put destiny on you. No, the opposite is true. Before you got dirty, you had already been called. And God puts the anointing on us, I believe, as a reminder of who we are. Because we've already been called and anointed by him. Never forget where God has brought you from. And when he elevates you, you won't make the same mistake Saul made. You'll say, I've got to listen. That's why when Samuel showed up, he said, I'm the one who God sent to anoint you king. When I met you, you was chasing donkeys. Don't get brand new. You need to listen to what I have to say. I pray that that word, I really pray that it will excite you like it does me. Here's why. I believe that a word like that, that is in many ways a word of warning, is a word that lets you know that you're on the verge of great success. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it's a word that lets you know that you're on the verge of breakthrough, on the verge of elevation. And God loves you enough to say, when you get the husband you've been praying for, when you get the job you've been asking for, when you get the car, when you get the house, when you get the peace, when you get the restoration, when you get the benefits, when you get the title, when you get the corner office, when you get the gig, when you get the new appointment, when you get the divine destiny, when you get the church, when you get whatever you get, don't you forget where I brought you from. And my prayer is that it will burn in your heart in such a way that you'll carry it with you wherever you go, so that no matter where he takes you, you remember that he's the one that's taking you there. And because of it, he deserves all the glory, he deserves all the honor, and he deserves all the praise. If that word was for you, jump up on your feet, put your hands together or lift your hands up. Open up your mouth and give God some praise. Come on, that would be okay if you were praising a preacher. But can you open up your mouth and give God some praise? Can you say, God, I bless you. God, I thank you.
for the elevation, for the destiny, for the divine appointment that is yet to come. I bless you. Come on, don't stop. Let's push a little harder.